right now. Now, I bet you found this whole discussion around Telegram super interesting. So that's good, because now we can talk to Bruce Dennell. He's from Very Interesting Magazine, and it's time for some Very Interesting Radio. How are you, Bruce?
I'm very good. Thanks, man. How are you?
I can't complain too much. I'm glad we're going to be finding out some interesting things today. Like, particularly, what do other planets smell like?
You see, now this is a schoolboy answer, which makes me very, very happy. And apologies for any particularly sensitive listeners when I say that Uranus apparently smells like hydrogen sulfide, which is rotten egg. So that makes me very happy on an immature level.
Right.
But it's because of all the gases in the atmosphere there. That's what determines most of the smell of any planet.
Yeah, the moon
so
doesn't
Uranus
have...
smells like rotten eggs.
Well, okay. As long as it's not in the studio. Yeah, I guess all the planets, I mean, the moon doesn't really have much of an atmosphere.
Well, you see, that's an interesting one, because that's the only one we have a first-hand account of in terms of other celestial bodies, because the Apollo astronauts, a number of them said the moon actually smelled, or the moon dust, to be more specific, smelled like spent gunpowder. So that, you know, that feeling just after something's been fired or you've struck a match, that smell. They're saying that's what the moon smells like.
I feel like that could be a bit awkward, because if someone then was actually able to light a match in space and actually the moon exploded, it would be a little bit unpleasant.
Well, yeah, no, there's a whole lot of real estate down the tube, and you know, the werewolves are out of the job, etc. No, this is not good.
Okay, well, it's good to know. If I ever go past Uranus, I will make sure to give it a bit of a sniff.
As it would.
Yeah. So that's important. Now, other important things. Why are cats afraid of cucumbers?
You see, now this is one of those questions that comes up every now and then because of YouTube. There will be a run of YouTube videos, and people are actively, you know, thrusting cucumbers at their cats, which is a bit worrying in itself. But it does seem to terrify the cats, and it does seem to be cucumbers particularly. But essentially, it's a behavioral thing where, you know, cats are very sensitive, hypersensitive to their surroundings, very aware of what's going on. And if you do give them a fright, they're going to react like that anyway. So it doesn't matter if it's a shoe or a, you know, whatever it is. But the thinking is with a cucumber, because it's long and thin, the sort of evolutionary mind of the cat, if you like, picks it up as a snake or something similar, something in that kind of area, and it goes, this is not good, let me get out of here. So it's got nothing to do with the cucumber itself. If you just put the cucumber on the ground, the cat would probably just ignore it, or, you know, play with it or whatever. But it's partially the fright that you've given the cat by sneaking up on it for the purposes of your YouTube video, and the shape of the thing. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have to start people against abusing cats with cucumbers.
Yes, we'll need a catchy acronym, but yeah. I'll get some T-shirts printed.
Yeah, with cucumbers on them, that can't end handy at all.
What could possibly go wrong?
And although, of course, I would like to see an experiment where you take a cucumber and then soak it in catnip. And then do that and
there
just
we go.
See what would happen.
The point. It's like Schrodinger's cucumber. It'll be amazing.
Exactly. All right. So put the cucumbers where they belong. Thank you very much. It seems like smell is high on the agenda today, Bruce. Why does laundry smell better if it's hung up outside?
And this is one that we South Africans can claim, and you know, people on soggy islands like Britain, you know, have to worry about. But it's got to do actually with the bacteria. So unless you wash your clothes all the time on the sort of very hot cycle, which obviously damages your clothes another way, they'll still have some bacteria trapped in the fibers. And then as they kind of sit there, you know, while they're waiting for either hanging inside, if you're in England, or tumble drying, that kind of thing, there's a little bit of time for those bacteria to kind of keep growing, to keep going. And clearly that's not good. And the waste compounds that they excrete while they're doing that, that's what gives you that lovely funky smell. But put them outside in the sun, and the ultraviolet light kills all the bugs. It does a wonderful job at that, which is, you know, removes the smell. And then sometimes also, particularly spring, summer, in South Africa, we get the lovely, you know, we've got pollens and all that kind of thing floating around as well with their lovely aromas.
Yeah.
And we get the extra smell, but it's essentially the absence of the smell, because the bacteria are all dead because of the sun. And that's, you know, so it's just lovely clean cotton or whatever material it is.
Well, there you go, Tubble. Now you know what to do with that shirt that you left in the studio yesterday. Okay, that's good. It's good to know. Now, I remember watching a high-tech space sci-fi movie once, Bruce, and they had one of the countdowns, but you know, I don't have the energy, Captain. I don't have the power. So they couldn't like measure the seconds. So they gave the alien and told them to go one Mississippi, two Mississippi. and it would just seem like a really effective thing. But how was the length of a second first calculated?
It's a long kind of, you know, in terms of the amount of time that it took to come around. It took a while, but started with civilizations like the Babylonians. And they would sort of break down time units, years into days, into hours. And all of those using astronomical observations. So passage of the sun, passage of the moon, all of that kind of thing. But when first practical clocks, because again, you would have your sundials, that kind of thing, but when the first practical clocks, started being invented and perfected in medieval times, the users were wanting a much more sort of, finer division. So they came up with, and obviously it was Latin at the time, they came up with something called pars minuta prima, which was, means the first very small part, which we now call a minute. And then further on, the pars minuta secunda, the second very small part, which we now call the second. So that's the, you know, with second as opposed to first comes from. But they still have relied on the Babylonians a little bit first because the Babylonians, had their divisions broken down into units of 60. That was just the way they rolled. So we might have this issue now where it's metric versus something else. And why aren't we working in divisions of hundreds or thousands? But the Babylonians were working in 60s, and they had a good system going. And so the guys in the Middle Ages who were formulating all these new rules, they relied on that. So basically from there, you would have an hour, break it down into 60. That's the first small unit is a minute, and break that down into 60 again. The second small unit, that's a second. And that's how we get it. So it's a relative concept. In other words, they had the longer passages first, and then they broke those down.
So in other words, this abusive machine in front of me that tells me when I have to do ads and whatever, I can blame the Babylonians for.
That's all the Babylonians' fault.
That is good to know. I also like the fact that the Latins had seemed to have like the modern day effect of when you're trying to edit a document with a whole bunch of other people, you know, it says like, whatever, party list one, and then it's party list two, and then it's party list final, right? And then inevitably you get a change. It's like party list final one. It sounds to me like they were doing that, you know, in it, you know, it's like what did you call it? The minute and then the second, you know, the first little bit, then the second little bit. It's not a new problem at all.
No, it's exactly, it's Chai FM 1.0, Chai FM 1.1. No, but how is that different? Why aren't we just going Chai FM 2 or Chai FM 3? You know, let's keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Right. Well, Bruce Dennell from a very interesting magazine. Thank you so much for being on the show and bringing us some very interesting radio.
Thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure.